Trusting you, yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. My soul says yes, Lord. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to you, 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 and yes, even you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Amen. It is a pleasure to be with you on this wonderful Monday afternoon or Monday evening. Amen. Well, God bless all of you. I hope and pray that you had a wonderful worship Sunday, those of you that worship on Sunday. And if you just so happen to worship on Saturday, hope you enjoyed your service too. Amen. But every day is a day of worship to the Lord. Amen. And so hopefully you got up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. That's an old song that says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's how we have to have every day, waking up with our mind stayed on the Lord. After all, Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then there's another scripture that says he will keep you in perfect peace if, oh God, if your mind, whose mind is stayed on him. Glory to God. So the condition is, if we keep our mind on the Lord, we'll have peace. Amen. That means even in the midst of trials, tribulations, storms, troubles, setbacks, blow-ups, and whatever may come that's not of God, if you keep your mind on the Lord by developing a thank you attitude, it don't matter what it looks like, you know that one day, soon, your victory is on the way. You know, soon or later, God is going to deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through. You know, God is going to reward your faithfulness and your commitment and your steadfast to be unmovable, always abiding in his name. Amen. And so as we do that, God makes the difference for us. Amen. Well, once again, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet of the True Word of Faith Church of God in Christ. Amen. It is my pleasure to be with you on this evening. This month is our month of emphasis on excellence, and we've been doing our best to try to break down, having the spirit of excellence. What is excellence? You know, how are we to deal with being excellent? You know, one of the things that it seems like we are almost afraid of, and we shouldn't be afraid, because the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But sometimes it seems like certain words make us afraid. You know, that word perfect, that word excellent. You know, we started thinking that we can't make mistakes and we can't mess up here and there. We think that everything got to be flawless. Amen. And when we hear those words, it put us on edge. But I don't know about you. If I'm taking a test and I have the option to get everything right on the test, if I study well, if I apply the knowledge that was taught to me in the so while I'm taking the test, I answer the questions correctly, I expect to have 100. I expect to have that 100. To me, that perfect to be perfect on that exam is not that's something to strive for. That's something to go after. You know, every now and then you may miss a question here or there, and you may end up getting a 93 or something like that on your test, and you're like, man, I almost had it. And it's supposed to drive you to the next time that you try to get it all right. Having a spirit of excellence is going after perfection, going after doing better, doing right, trying to be all that's needed. None of us should have the attitude that, man, well, it's time to do an exam. Yeah, okay, all right. What's the passing score, 70? Okay. I got 71. Wow. Woo, I made it. Yeah. We shouldn't have that attitude. Now, if you gave it all you got and you got a 71, be happy. Be happy. Be proud of yourself. If you made a 69, be happy. But go back, find out what you missed, and study so that next time you do better. Don't be afraid of do-overs. And I think that's the thing that probably really gets us the most is, you know, we don't pass the test of life. We know that certain things we're going to have to be tested again with them. We're going to have to go through them again. Well, in life, whether you pass the test or not pass the test, there are certain things that happen seasonal in our lives. There are certain things that comes back around again in our life. There are certain challenges that we're often faced to meet from time to time. So we should be learning from these times of challenges. I think that's why James told us to count it all joy when, not if, when we fall into diverse temptation. Because he knew that we're going to be tried, we're going to be challenged, we're going to be pressed. Life itself is a journey of making one decision or the other. And so every day we're facing with to do or not to do. So why not develop an attitude of doing your best? That's it. Your best and my best don't have to be the same. That's where we really miss the mark, because we think that my best and your best have to be the same for as best. And God don't look at it that way. No, he doesn't. God know what he put in you, and God know what he put in me. And God don't expect for me to do what he gave you to do better than you. But he do expect for you to do all that you are able to do of that which he had given you to do. You shouldn't be trying to do my assignment. You should be trying your best to fulfill your assignment. Because it's when you complete your assignment, most time, many times, let's go ahead and face it, all the time, that's when we really celebrate it. That's when true joy comes into play, is when you know you have done your best and you have succeeded. There's a joy that comes on the inside that even if nobody else around to say that a boy, the way to go, or any of those accolades, you can step back and look at it yourself and see how well it was. And you can feel the joy of the Holy Spirit bubbling up on the inside of you as you did exactly what God put in you to do. So I want to encourage you real good. Excellent is being 100% authentic you, not me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you to mark or strive to be better by using examples of others who are doing the things in the area that you are doing. You know, I don't play tennis. So for me to be looking at all the major tennis players and say, man, I'm going to be like this person one day, I don't play tennis. So for me to have hope and expectation and think I got to accomplish that, that's not my challenge. That's not my task. But I do play golf. So I should be able, I should want to be the best golfer I can be. Can't be no John Daly, no Tiger Woods, or Vijay Singh, or any of these other great renowned golfers that have come and gone. But I can be the good golfer that I am by challenging myself. If I know that my best score was a 84, then I should be striving to make an 82. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for those of you that don't know, the number went down because the lower your score is in golf, the better you played. But anyway, and so you strive to be better. If you got anger issues, and you find yourself getting mad once a day, you should be striving to go 2 days without being angry. And even if you're angry on the inside, learning to study to show thyself quiet, scripture to work. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. Control your anger. The Bible says, anger, but sin not. So it's not a bad thing for you to get angry. But if your anger is causing you to lose control and you have stepped over into the area of madness, I call madness because if you put your hands on somebody unprovoked, that's madness. Husband, you got no business putting your hands on your wife unless you're making a move towards the bedroom and that's what y'all doing. Amen. Outside of that, don't you be hitting that woman. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. And sisters, some of y'all got some anger issues too. And some of you sisters like to hit. Don't hit that man. Don't you do that. Don't you provoke him to violence. Just because you're the woman. I remember growing up, I taught my brother, never throw a lick unless you're prepared to receive one. Because for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. You don't know. Might be the wrong day. So keep your hands to yourself. But we should learn, the Bible tells us, as much as life was in us, live peaceably with all men. Somebody asked me the question one time in one of our men's fellowship, say, but what if it's not in you? Lord have mercy. What if the peace is not in you? Then my advice is for you to seek God the more, because he didn't give us fear. He gave us love, peace, and a sound mind. So I want to be peaceful. So I have to embrace love. I have to embrace meekness. I have to embrace gentleness. And just because you're meek and gentle don't mean you're weak. That don't mean you're weak. That don't make you a pushover. That don't mean you have to become a pushover. Amen. But sometimes we can exercise godliness, and if we trust the word, the Bible says, soft answer, turn away wrath. So learning how to deal with each situation as they come, that's us learning how to walk in the favor of God, in the peace of God. Amen and amen. Well, good evening, good evening. God bless each of you one by one, name by name. You know, I was going there for a moment, but I have to stop and ask, how's your psyche? How's your mental? Amen. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I used to give y'all, you know, levels of 1 to 10, but y'all like this thumbs up, thumbs down. Cisco and Eber came back, so we want to hear from you tonight. I believe all the mics are open, those of you that are on the line. How are you feeling on this evening? Are you feeling thumbs up, thumbs down? For me, I'm feeling thumbs up, both of them. They're up. I'm feeling pretty good, and I am complete. Who's next?
Doing great, Pastor Bonnet. Two thumbs up, and I'm doing great.
Good evening. I want y'all to listen to this. Thumbs up for me. Now listen to Trumpet. He's hungry. Now listen to him. Listen to what he's doing.
What are you doing, Trumpet? Huh?
We can't hear the cat.
He's hitting the cat food with his paw.
Hey, baby. How are you? Come here, Trumpet.
Well, you gotta tell Trumpet, he you know, there is a sequel where Tom and Jerry did talk, so you know, he it's all right for him to talk. So we can hear what you're doing.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Queen. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Two thumbs up.
Amen.
I'm all good. Crown is sitting okay. Trumpet, I think, when Charles lets his bowl get empty, he goes and taps the bag to let Charles know he's hungry and he needs to feed him. So I guess he knows that Charles is sight challenged, so he figured he'd tap the bag.
Yeah. You know, animals are pretty smart. They know how. My love dog, he'll do that. If my wife don't feed him, I feed on the dog, so... So when if his bowl get empty or if he need water, he'll leave the room some way she is, and he'll come and he'll get at my foot and he'll look up at me and wait on me to acknowledge him. As soon as I acknowledge him, he scratches out and just put his paws on me and just go looking at me. I'm like, what you want now? And he'll just look at me. And if I look back towards the kitchen, if I see the bowl pulled out, that means he was out of water. I said, you need some water? And he go to jumping around. Like, that. Yeah, man, come on. Well, I said, do you need to go out? Do you need to fight? And then he'll shoot off to the door. Right, so they smart.
Mm-hmm.
They very, very smart.
Yeah, I told Charles, I said, you let that bowl get empty, he going to let you know he wants something to eat. That's funny. All right, I'm complete.
They say a closed mouth don't get fed, so I guess that's the way the dog, the cat, to make sure they get fed too.
Exactly.
Say, do you, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. That's the way he communicates. Mine will come and look at me. Meow, meow.
Yeah, now.
Give me that.
You have to be careful.
Look.
You got to be careful. Some of them get a little vindictive. You don't feed them right and you start skipping their meals, they'll let you know. They'll start doing stuff that's going to get your full attention. I put it that way.
Well, I know if you don't change that kitty litter, you might have an issue.
Yeah, they gonna let you know.
Uh-huh.
They gonna know, and you ain't gonna like it.
Mm-mm.
Well, the reason they do that, the reason they bury their business is to stay clear of other predators. That's why
they
do that.
Look, when it's full, and they listen now, you the one brought me in here. Now, I was fine outside.
Yeah.
You going to bring me in. Now, you going to have to take care of your business.
Yeah.
You domesticated me.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, we should take care of our animals. They're good.
I think that's so cool.
I was reading Ecclesiastes today, and there was a verse in there that dealt with that mankind and animals, we all go to the same place, to the dirt. And who to say whether our spirit go up and their spirit just go down? No. So he was dealing with that in Ecclesiastes. It was funny. And I thought about that earlier. That's so bad. They had that movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty cool. He goes in there and hit that bag. That's pretty cool. Let me know he's hungry.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you see that movie? Did you remember that movie, Little Shop of Horrors?
Oh, yeah. Feed me.
That, I remember the movie, but the only part I fully remember... Hey, me, Seymour.
Well, you know who was in there, right?
Yeah, I knew several people in there. But that's what I remember about the movie the most. Is the plant on my phone. He ready to eat. But what's the girl from Martin?
Keisha Campbell.
Yeah. And the other one, they was in there singing.
Sheena Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I passed the bonnet. Hey.
I got a ficus on my front porch. It says to me every day. I'm thirsty.
Oh boy.
Anyhow, well, greetings, all of you. Thank you for tuning in today, and let's dive into it now. I lost a little commercial. I like this.
Fitness is a big part of my life, and I've learned that it needs to be regular, a discipline we need to do especially on the days when we're not in the mood and don't have a lot of energy. And like physical fitness, our spiritual fitness is something we tend to put off. But regular time alone with God is essential in getting to know Him. I wrote my new book of 365 devotions right from the heart to serve as a spiritual warm-up. It's not a substitute for talking with God through prayer and listening to God through the study of His Word. It's a supplement to get the spiritual juices flowing. I pray that the Lord will bless you through each day's message. May these thoughts give you a hunger to know Him. And most of all, I hope they'll connect you with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Meeting with God is a way to have a meaningful and abundant eternal life. Some common questions people ask about quiet time. Number one, with all the stresses of life, how do I make time daily for a quiet time? Well, there's never time for a daily quiet time. As a pastor, I sure don't have enough time for a quiet time. But I have to ask God for a hunger to know Him and a hunger to spend time with Him. Then it becomes the most important appointment of my day. I keep daily lists, and number one on my daily appointment list is time alone with God. I encourage you to do the same. Number two, by using Right from the Heart, what would a daily quiet time look like? I decided to write these devotions short and easy to understand because people really are pressed for time. So first, ask God to open your mind and heart. Read the scripture reference, maybe reread it again. Then read the devotion for the day and let it sink in. Don't be tempted to read ahead. Just one a day will give you a fresh food for thought and get your spiritual juices flowing. And then ask God for a special time with Him through prayer and Bible study. I hope in the process that you get to hear from God.
Amen. I like that because it deals with having a daily devotion. Oftentimes, we really, all of us can be guilty of this, and that we get up in the morning and for the most part, we're trying to figure out what to do for that day or what plans we have for that day, trying to meet those agendas, trying to do what it is that we're trying to do, especially if it's involving you doing something for income. You know, going to work, trying to build your business. And so a lot of times we get so caught up with the hustle and bustle of life that we get in that physical hurry mentally. And many times we don't take time. And I'm saying it like that, we don't take time to ask God to direct us for that day. Most of the reason, because we figure we are able to do it ourselves. He gave me a reasonable portion of health and strength. He gave me mine. He gave me, you know, and so we figure we can do it on our own. And, you know, some babies, when they first started trying to walk and they think they got it, and you try to help them, they don't want to hold your hand. They want to do it themselves. And a lot of times I think we can have that same type of attitude where, Lord, I can do this. I can do this myself. And we try to go about our daily business on our own. And it's not that we're trying to be disrespectful to God, but sometimes the hubris of it is our own self-pride, our own vanity. And we just try to do things on our own. And we really don't consider the grand plan that God has for our life, because we know what we want for our life. We know what we're desiring. And so many times we end up getting tunnel vision on what we want, and we just really overlook the things that God may be saying to us in our lives. We don't consider the plan that God may have for our lives. It can be a challenge. And then when things go wrong, when things don't turn out the way we plan, we're more so distraught and frustrated because we look back and we examine our actions to be good, to be pure purpose, and we say, well, Lord, why didn't you bless it? Why didn't you help me to do it? There wasn't nothing wrong with it. And so we kind of get caught in that zone. Now, that may just be me. That might not be none of y'all. That may just be me. That may be Kenneth. That may be just Kenneth's issue that sometimes he just get caught up in his own self, in his own head. And he doesn't consult God for the play. Football season is, we're in preseason of the football season, for national football, that is. School football is already going on. And, you know, one of the things that the team, the captain of the team, the quarterback, as he's calling the plays, he still has to consult with the coach. He still has to listen to the sideline, because oftentimes they see what we don't see. And in life, as we're striving, trying to become what it is we're trying to become, to accomplish what it is we're trying to accomplish, we see what we see, but we don't consult with the folk from the sideline. We don't go talk to the coach. We don't talk to Jesus. We don't ask the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about football is not only do you have the coach on the sideline or the coaches on the sideline watching the offense and defense, but you also have the management of the team or the owners of the team in the skybox looking from high up down low. And sometimes they may see something that they may call down to the coach and tell the coach to challenge a play because they see something that the coach even missed. And, you know, your pastor, your spiritual leader may miss something. The husband may miss something, wife. And it ain't that he didn't pray. You know, it ain't that he didn't seek God for direction. But he didn't see the whole field. He didn't see what the enemy was planning to do. But that overview, amen. And say, not that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will remind us of certain things, certain rights, certain privileges, and will let us know, hey, you, that was a violation against you. Wait a minute, you need to call foul on the plate. Why? Because you have we have a referee called the Holy Spirit that know how to call the play. And when you bring it to his attention, say, hey, this man, and they look back and review the play. Kind of like that scripture said, when you catch a thief, he owe it to you sevenfold. Sometimes in life, we got to really be mindful that the enemy isn't trying to play by fair rules. His desire is to keep us from the promises of God. And in many times, his desire is to destroy our influence. And if he can get our mental to be down, if he can get us to stop trying to be perfect, Stop trying to be professional. Stop trying to perfect what it is that we're doing. Then he can damage the influence that we have in the other people's lives. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2 here and 5. I want to look at this for a second. Let's read that. Let me open up my Bible here. Philippians 2 and 5. I want to share this. I want to share a few things. And y'all allow me just to have this open discussion. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, it says this, and Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it reads, coming from the King James Version, it says, let this mind, remember I said to us a while back, that word let, L-E-T, is a word of creation. Creativity. So that means even if it don't exist, it can manifest. Okay? So I want you to look at this word let as something being made manifested. Something coming to life. Coming into action, coming into fruition. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. I just want to stop right there on that thought. The Bible here in Philippians, we read, it's telling me you can have the mind of Christ. Now, we know the mind of Christ was perfect because he obeyed the Father. It was his drive, his desire to do what the Father wanted him to do. So he was one with the Father. So it's telling us, let this mind. So I can also say it to you like this. Allow your mind to be like the mind of Christ. Wow. So instead of allowing our mind to be frustrated all the time or most of the time, instead of allowing our mind to dictate how we're going to do that day, you know, sometimes we don't do stuff. Why you not going to work? I don't feel like it. Hey, why you not working on this? I don't feel like it. Well, what's wrong? I don't know. And we allow that emotion of disconnect to stop us from doing what we could be doing or what we should be doing. But when we take on an excellent spirit, which is the spirit of Christ, it says, let your mind be like his mind. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's a whole lot. If I had to give you a grand scenario of that That's like King one day deciding to live not like a commoner, but a peasant, and die that way being wealthy, but die like a peasant. Die out of place. Changing position. We know in the natural, for the most part, there's not one of us that will give up a kingdom. I remember coming to America where when he found the daughter of McDowell's daughter, and he said, I renounce my throne to be with you. And his desire to be with her was so to the point where he said, although I have people to worship me, honor me, got money in my own name, my face on money, you know, I am money. Although I'm all that, my love for her will make me give all that up. The mind of Christ is his love for us was so great that the glimpse, the small glimpses that the Bible gives us of heaven, he gave all of that up for you and I. So when it comes down to sacrifice, when it comes down to humility, when it comes down to obeying the plan that God has, the Father, we see Jesus doing just that. This would make him excellent. As great as he is, and I ain't going to say was, because he's alive still, he wasn't only just willing, but he did. So will I be willing to give up my time to help somebody else know salvation? Will I be willing to give up some of my money to help somebody know salvation? Now, I'm not saying to nobody that you to give away your bill money because you have an obligation of responsibility. So I'm not telling you to be irresponsible and so that you can, the scripture that deals with obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we think that, well, I sacrifice this and I sacrifice that. But the question comes down to, but what did God tell you to do? Yeah, you may have made a sacrifice, but is that what God told you to do? Saul made a sacrifice, the first king of Israel, but it wasn't his place to do. It was for the prophet to do. But because he was afraid of the disconnect in the people, he did something that he knew that he shouldn't have done. But and in this case, the Lord told him the obedience part. The command for him was to kill everything. And he didn't kill everything. He kept some of it. And he turned around and used it as a sacrifice. And many times we would say, well, what was wrong with that? He still gave an offering to the Lord. He sacrificed to the Lord. Well, two things was wrong with it. One thing that was wrong with it was it cost him nothing. So that wasn't a true sacrifice. If it costs you nothing, that's not a true sacrifice. Okay? If I gave you $20 to put in church, and you put that $20 in because I gave it to you so that you could have something to give, that was your offering, not your sacrifice. So he took something that he was told to do away with and made a sacrifice. So he was disobedient first because the command to him was to destroy it, to kill it. And because he didn't do that, him being the leader, he demonstrated relationship with God openly to the people. So God was displeased because being a leader, he showed the people how to dishonor God and not honor God by doing what he thought versus what God said. And that's the challenges that we see in our world today. Many people teach what they think and versus what God said. Well, I think it's okay, but what do the Bible say? Well, I'm just saying, you know, these are new times. The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. So just because it's 2023 doesn't mean that God didn't establish this in whatever year he established the rule that he's telling you to obey now. He knew then when he gave it that this time was going to come. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So there's no surprises on him. So if he said it, that settles it. So we have to learn to conform to his will. So that's why I like Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So to have the mind of Christ Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. The very last verse here says to us, and this is chapter 5 is our Beatitudes, where we see blessed this, blessed that. But at the very end, he says something to us, and he says, be ye therefore perfect. And this is Christ speaking. The words of Christ, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, somebody says, well, brother preacher, I think you might have took that out of context. Well, I don't think I did. For the sake of clarity, I will back up several verses. Verse 43, and I think this gives us a complete thought. It says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. He said, this is what you heard, but he's teaching. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, wow. Remember, we're talking about the mind of Christ, which is something of excellence. So Christ being our excellent example of righteousness, this is what he said. He said, you heard. So somebody told you it was okay to hate them that hate you. So he's talking. So again, verse 43, chapter 5, Matthew's. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. So that was a teaching, because he said, you heard. So there was a teaching concept. But this is what Christ does. He said, but I. So now he's exalting his word, or he's stating something greater. And that's what you was taught, but now let me teach you better. So he says, you've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thy enemy. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Right now, on that statement alone, some people have already said, whatever, preacher, do me wrong. Lord have mercy on you. Because you already, but you ain't fighting the preacher. Because the preacher didn't say this. The preacher is resounding what Jesus said. Matthew records for us, the words of Christ. He said, I know you heard or been taught to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But let me teach you something better. He make it personal. I'm telling you. And he has a right to tell us because he's our Redeemer. And most of all, he's not just our Savior. He's our Lord. So this is a command, not a suggestion. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. I didn't say it was easy. I'm saying this is what he said. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We got some ways to go because all of us been mistreated, mishandled, and there's some resentment and some hurt and there's some pain that's still in our heart that God is still working on us. He's trying to heal us from it, but we got to let him heal us. You know, some things people have done, we think they did it despitefully. I mean, on purpose. We think they did it on purpose. Now, we don't know, but we think. Because whatever we feel about that person. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So Christ is telling me to be a genuine child of God, I must love my enemy, bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me, pray for them that despitefully use me, persecute me, that ye may be. See the condition? that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46. For if you love, if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And he finished with saying, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave. So our life has to be one with the things that we're giving in the name of love. Food for thought. Luke chapter 2. Luke, verse number 52. The end of this verse. Now, because sometimes we say, well, that was Jesus. He was perfect. He came with, you know, everything together. So this verse tells me, and I'm going to read it, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. That's growth, y'all. So if Jesus increased in wisdom, so can we. So the scripture says again, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So I am patterning my life from someone that has shown me a spirit of excellence. And so since Jesus is an excellent spirit, let this mind be in you that was also in him. We have to get away from the phrases being intimidated by the word perfect. Some of us, I grew up, my mama believed in perfect attendance. If school was open, I was going to school every day. There wasn't no staying home from school. You know, that word perfect simply means complete and without defect or blemish. When you do your homework assignment, if you complete the assignment, it's perfect. You turn your paper in, there's no coffee stains on it, no milk stains, no Kool-Aid stains. The paper is as if you had just took it out the folder and you turned it in, it's perfect. You answered all the questions. You completed the assignment. So we have to get away from thinking that we can't do excellent work. Excellent can mean foolproof. It's ideal. It's incredible. It's pure. It's splendid. It's superb. It's absolute. We love those words. So let us embrace excellence. Let us embrace a mindset of perfection, to embrace it. Because if I don't embrace it, then I don't go after it. If I don't embrace it, then how can I truly achieve it? Well, how do you do it, preacher? 2 Timothy. Verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15. We read here, study. Remember, the question is, how do I become excellent? How do I become perfect? How do I fulfill these scriptures? This is how we do it. We study, S-T-U-D-Y, study, to show thyself, yourself, myself. So you make this personal. You don't tell others to study and you don't. Study to show yourself approved. I'm going to come back to that word, approve. Approve unto God. So I'm not studying just to show you I know more than you. That's not the why I study. I'm not studying to prove to you I'm not a dum-dum. No. But I am studying to show or to approve that God, as in the scripture here, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not, or needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. When I study, it teaches me how to keep the scriptures in context. But it also teaches me how to apply them as a pretext for a concept that I can fulfill, that I can build on, that I can live by. So I study for understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. So I study to show myself approved unto God, need not rightfully dividing the word of truth. Amen. So I study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling. So that word shun is to stay away from. Stay away from bad language, profanity. Stay away from bad conversation. Vain babbling, just talking about anything and anybody. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. This is why. He make it clear for us. Bad communication corrupts good manners. So he's telling us, increase into more ungodliness. In our life, in order for me to have the mind of Christ, Christ is the second part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I need a godly attitude, a godly mindset, so I can't be entangled with profane and vain babbling. Continue to read the rest of that for your personal. And so what I did was I what I'm doing now is of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And that's what we are to do for one another. That's how we are to build one another. That's how we are to encourage one another. Amen. Say with me, 911. We know that term, 911. Many of us know 911 is the here, especially here in America. That's what you do when there's an emergency, when you need help. 911. So let me read a 911 for us in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, that's the Old Testament, so journey backwards in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Now, once again, in your leisure, you can read this whole chapter, but I want to zero in on his statement here. He says, I return. I mean, he's been seeking out. So after him seeking what he was seeking, he said, I'll return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. For yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance happens to them all. Now, I wish I had time to really deal with that term, time and chance, because time deals with vision and chance deals with no vision. In life, there's going to be things that we're going to do, and we're going to find success because we had vision and we operated within a time frame to receive that vision, to accomplish that vision. Many times we say, well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. And we're hoping, we're wishing, we did nothing to add to or to cause or to assist making something happen. Well, one day the Lord gonna let it happen, but we don't seek out. We don't seek out how to accomplish it. As Jesus started his earthly ministry, he sought out help. He didn't just start it on his own, but he gathered first 12 men to be close with him, to teach them, to indoctrinate them, and to fill them with right understanding. Now, he ministered to many, and he adopted a whole lot. But some, as he continued to teach, the depth of his teaching was too much for them, and they did not stay because they didn't take on the mind of Christ, because they kept thinking as normal. So when the scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, many didn't take that transformation and allow their mind to be renewed. And when you and I don't allow our mind to be renewed, things that are possible will become impossible, because we won't believe that all things are possible to them that believe. So we must learn to take on the mind of Christ so that we will see those things that God said we can do, even though others have said we can't do. And the difference is you heard God tell you to do. Because one thing, if I tell you you can't do that and that's not your call, then I told you right. But if God has given you a set instruction, like he told Abram, get you out your father's house and go into a country where I shall show you, and there I shall make your name great. Well, he's already old. His wife is already old. He didn't go and debate with his wife and say, well, honey, what you think? Should we, the Lord told me to go. She probably would have said, well, who is the Lord? You mean tell me I got to give up my home? We got friends in these corridors around these parts. I got to leave everybody I know? Because he believed and trusted by faith that God will do just what he said. He had a mindset to follow through. There's a phrase called the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding is an expression that means the value or quality or truth of something must be judged based on direct experience with it. So when you allow your relationship with God to grow and to develop, the proof is in the pudding. It is in the direct experience with him. And you know God can do it because what he's already done, how good he's already been. David never fought a giant. Matter of fact, for as we know, outside of the lion and the bear, we don't know of any fights that David had prior to Goliath. We don't know. The Bible described him as dark and ruddy, young man. And so here it is. When he faced with a challenge, and mind you that the armies of the Lord, the children of Israel, the army, Saul's men, his soldiers, had been being taunted, and if memory serves me correctly, I think about 30 days or so, man has been taunting them, and they are afraid to fight this army because of their leader, this one Philistine giant, who kept telling them, send one man to fight me. If you're one man, if you got one man to beat me, then if he beat me, we'll become your servant. If I beat him, you all must be our servant. So they're afraid because they don't want to be put in bondage. They're afraid. They're afraid because they didn't have no one that they thought that could stand up to the statue of a man that they saw. But here it is, this teenager, doing what his daddy told him to do. Say, son, I need you to go and take this food down to your brothers at the battle. Bring back any money that they sent it home to their families. And bring me a report of what's going on. So that means all the people in the village or the people in the town, the cities, all of the other Israelites, those that was not fighting, they was at the understanding that there was about to be a battle. And David went and stood before Goliath, for hearing him taunting the children of Israel. After hearing this man slander their God, he's upset. He's trying to figure out, all of these men of war, how are they allowing one individual against God like this? So he's amazed. We see it today. People talk about Jesus bad. And many times we don't say a word. And so after he inquired what would happen to the man that fight him and win, he heard some good news. He said, you know what? I'll fight him. Because I know, number one, I know what God told me. He said that I was going to be the next king. I know I can't die here. And see, you got to understand, when God is giving you a promise, the trouble in your life, I don't care how bad it is and how big it is, it does not have the power to stop you when God has already spoken to you. So David simply had a testimony service. Believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, believe I testify while I have a chance. I remember the bear, and I whooped him real good. Turned around and grabbed the lion by his beard and pulled him through too. He began to just get happy and excited. And he marched down there to that brook. He said, I heard that he got four other brothers. I'm going to get a rock for each one of them. I said, man, why didn't you fill up? Nah, one going to do it. One going to do it. One shot for each. It's going to take care of what need to be done. And he put in his bag five smooth stones. He took out one, and Goliath began to taunt him. What is this? Am I a dog that you send this insignificant, short, no talent, no fighting, no gear That's how the enemy try to treat us sometimes. Like we're unprepared to fulfill what God has for us because we don't have the stuff that they think we need. See, somebody think you need a seminary degree. Somebody think you need this doctorate degree, this degree, and that degree. But the only degree that you need is to agree with the word that says you shall be. To agree with what God has said concerning you. That's the agreement. That's the degree you need to agree with what God has said about you. In one shot, David released his faith, and his faith directed his aim to his enemy. And using the enemy's sword, he cut off the head of Goliath. He said, yeah, I didn't have a sword, but yours will do. Now, since I don't want this battle, you all are our servants. On the attitude of, I can be what God says I can be. I can be who God says I am. I am what God says I am. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens, that's continual. He continually, amen, amen, and amen. So, Ecclesiastes once again said, he returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Actually, let me read this in the New Living for y'all. He said, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. We know it. We got a kid's story that talks about the turtle and the hare. Surely the rabbit was faster than a turtle. But on that day, the turtle won the race. Because the rabbit was too relaxed and did not finish. He started strong till he finished. And that's what we must do. Remain steady, steadfast, abiding. He said, I observed something under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. Buster Douglas beat Tyson, and the world was, we didn't know who Buster Douglas was 6 months before that fight. And we didn't know who he is. We don't know who he is 6 months after. But he won that fight. The wise sometimes go hungry. Wow. The wise people sometimes go hungry. And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. Wow. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It's because you know a little something. That don't mean you're always going to be successful. There's some drunks, barely got somewhere to stay, that know the Bible better than most preachers. Y'all don't want to hear that. It is always decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Being in the right place at the right time. So I must know where God wants me. I must grow where God planted me. I must deal with what he has installed in me. Cannot worry about what he put in others and what others are doing or not doing. I have to do my part. That's my 911. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening today. That's what I have on Excellent. I don't want to get into my next sermon because it's leading me directly into it. And so I pray that what I shared so far has been good. Pray that what I've given is encouraging in you being all that God wants you to be. I was doing something earlier, and this really takes me to just a whole nother teaching. I was doing this for my personal. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so the question here would be, what is vision? Vision is divine guidance. Vision is not what you visibly see. Because to have a vision of something great, usually you're looking at something that isn't great. Now, we can all of us can see a stadium once it's finished and cars are in the parking lot and people are walking into the stadium. But can you see that stadium when it was just a plot of land? That's vision. Being able to see something that's not, but can be. The Bible says, for where there is no vision, the people perish. Perish don't mean die. That word perish really deals with running away. To run wild, excuse me. There's no order. So the people perish. Vision keeps one from running wild. The vision is the time. No vision. Those are those that's hoping on chance and not trusting the plan of God. So let us trust the plan of God. Let us desire God's will. And we do that by studying and meditating on his word. And we have to do that daily. And we always don't have to stop and open up the Bible and begin to study. We can let the Bible read to us throughout the day. We can take a moment and read one scripture. We can take a time out, take 5 minutes, read something encouraging on that as we carry out that day. I often say, you know, Proverbs have, there's 31 Proverbs, so there's a proverb for every day. Proverbs deals with wisdom and guidance. And so we can start there with developing our wisdom and guidance. But we don't have to try to conquer the world in one day, but we can be mindful of the world and do our part to win those in the world. Each opportunity God presents to us to do so. So once again, God bless you. Thank you. Are there any questions, any comments, any input? Was I clear? All the lines are open.
That was a good message there, Pastor Bonnet. And at any time that you want to remember about that offering we're taking up through this week, let me know.
Yep, I have not forget. Amen. Anyone, any comments? Anybody have anything you'd like to add? Your personal testimonies of development and growth and development? Anything is welcome. All right. Well, we're not going to press no further. Amen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and joining us. Amen. If God's touched your heart and you'd like to donate to me as a minister, you can always do so. That is through Cash App, and that is $ Pastor Bonnet. That's PASTORBONNETT. It'll come up, Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith. Amen. And whatever God touch your heart to donate to the ministry, we thank you so very much. You can also donate to this Six Eyes Radio Network. Radio is not cheap. There is a cost involved. And we would greatly appreciate your support in doing so. For the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are two direct ways of being able to give. One is through Cash App, and the other is through PayPal. And if you're going to do it through Cash App, you will enter $ Six Eyes 24. That's $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. And no contribution is too small and no contribution is too big. However, God touch your heart to support. And if you are able, we just ask that you throw a $10 seed offering on to evening. If you have PayPal, the email address you would enter in is 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. Amen. And once again, your contribution will be greatly appreciated. There's a young man by the name of Ian that have been donating his time, his energy, his effort in helping those that need help, those that have disabilities or challenges in their life and not able to do all that they can do around their home. This young man, he's about 13 years of age, and he had made a conscious decision to help those in his community. One particular family, the family of Wolfgang, he decided to help them with some things, not just on the yard, but around the house itself and on the house itself. He not only cut their yard, but he trimmed the bushes. He took the vines off the fences, the gated fence, which is a challenge by itself, because any vines go to wrapping around the gated fence, it is something to try to unwrap it all. But that young man began to do that so that their home will look like a home. Then he came back, and not only did he finish that task, but he came back and saw that the gutters needed to be cleaned. And he did that for them as well. And when he was done, it was similar like Jesus said, no charge. There was no charge to them. Amen. He did it out of the kindness and the goodness of his heart. And so this week, we're on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're taking donations, receiving an offering to just sow into his life. And so if you desire to do that, the donation that we gave you, the information that we gave you for the radio station on the Cash App and on the PayPal, if you simply just put it on there, donation for Ian, and if you do that, Brother Six is going to ensure that Ken has the funds that are coming in through that account this week, and we'll share that with Ian. Amen. And so I want to start off, and I want to send something just for Ian myself, and we're just going to, and at the end of the week, whatever's there, Brother Six will send that over to Missionary Ken. And we want to just encourage you to do so. Again, no gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whatever God put on your heart to do, we thank you for your generosity. One of the things that the Bible teaches is God blesses a cheerful giver. So we want you to give cheerfully, not grudgingly, and not out of necessity. One of the principles of giving is you give on purpose, amen. Just like a farmer, they farm on purpose. They know what seeds they planted in the ground, so they know what kind of harvest is coming up. And so those of you that's going to donate today, just do that for us, amen, and we would greatly amen. Appreciate it. Amen, amen. I hear you, Brother Six. How you doing, sir?
Sir, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Well, I have concluded my lesson for this evening. Are there anything you'd like to share with the listeners, any additional information about the second programming that we're having that y'all like to share, either you or Ken? The floor is you all.
Just getting the word out there about the new station. Just put this number on your phone. 515-605-9340. We got great programming over there at the Six Eyes Radio Network as well. Particularly the Bible portion. We have Kitty Bible, which gives a perspective of the Bible to what kids can understand. That's a great, great show. Thursday, that's the Jumbo Braille program, where either we're going to interview someone who has overcame challenges and not let it stop them, or we're going to have a book that's on Thursdays. Fridays is either My Daddy's Records or My Daddy's Remote. My Daddy's Record is my tribute to my father, because he taught me everything I know about music.
growing up in a household full of music at an early age. So I basically pick a particular artist and break down the album, if not the album, the song, and give Ken a lesson in music. And also, if not that, My Daddy's Remote is some of the shows that he liked to watch. So that's a treat in itself. Either My Daddy's Records or My Daddy's Remotes. We've been doing the Waltons because my father liked the Waltons, so we've been doing that. And also Gunsmoke. Saturday is backstage with Six Eyes. And with that, I interview people, entrepreneurs, authors, celebrities, you know, anything that they're doing, singers, you know, authors, poets, entrepreneurs. You know, if you're doing something of good, I interview you. And Sunday, another Bible at 9 p.m. after your great message you give on Sundays on the 424-243-9617. So if you missed 424-243-9617 with Pastor Bonnet's message, you can catch another one on Sunday when we are doing the Bible in its entirety. So you got some great stuff from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And with that, I'm complete. Please join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. And with that, I am complete for tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Mr. Ken, is there anything else you'd like to contribute or Queen Nye and one of y'all directors?
Well, just the name when you guys were talking about Ian, just remember it's spelled I as an Indian, N as Nancy, A as Apple, and that's how his name is spelled, Ian, I-N-A. And I'm complete.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to send that offer for Ian over right now so that I don't forget it. I-N-A. And I like to be a partaker of just being a small blessing to this young man's life. And
I think that's cool.
Okay. Amen. So,
amen.
Nevertheless, I want to thank everyone for joining us on this evening. I pray that something is said has encouraged you and strengthened you in your walk with Christ. And that's the journey. We're all walking, we all should be walking with the Lord. You may think about walking with the Lord is he's going to keep making you better than you was the day before. And all you have to do is keep an open mind, an open heart, and receive his strength, receive his joy that is designed to elevate our lives because he wants to make a difference in the world. He said so long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But he told us greater works that we would do. Amen. He said, so he told us we are the light of the world. Amen. And so it is our challenge to be that light that God wants us to be. And we can be it. Amen. We don't have to dwell in darkness or sadness or regret. If we didn't get it done yesterday, today is a new day. If tomorrow come, it will be today. Get up that day and tell God, thank you that your name made the walk list. And then ask him, what is it that you are able to do? And as he give it to you, just put one foot in front of the other and begin to move in that direction and watch you accomplish what he has told you to do by faith. Amen. By your action.
Amen.
Amen. So my prayer is...
Before we get out of here, I got a story to tell you. So,
all right, come on.
80-year-old man was at the car dealership, and he drove a convertible off the showroom floor to go for a test drive. Started off slow, started off fast, started up getting all the way to 120 miles per hour. Trooper was behind him. So the man floored it again, kept going, kept going, kept going. Then he finally pulled over. The cop said, hey, you're going mighty fast there. He said, look, I get off, and if you can give me a good reason why you were speeding, I'll let you go. He said, well, officer, when I was younger, my wife left with a trooper, and I thought she was bringing her back. He said, have a good day.
That was funny. That's crazy. That is crazy.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, I thought you were bringing them back, so I'm trying to get away from you. Nah, not you. You took a keeper.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, as always, thank you for the great message you bring on Motivational Monday. And just continue to support the Six Eyes Radio Network, listeners. We do appreciate you. Amen, amen.
All right. Well, now by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rule and abide with each one of us here now and forever. Until the next appointed time where God sees fit to allow us to meet again, we say thank you, Lord, and amen. May the peace of God
amen.
Be with each of y'all, traveling mercy before you. And you should see that offering there shortly there when you get off the line, Brother Six. So God bless you.
Okay. God bless you.
Y'all take care.
All right. You just enjoyed Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Every Monday, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 Pacific, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Only on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 424-243-9617. Good night, America.
Have a good sleep.